All right, we're joined on the programme now by John Wilkie, Letterkenny resident. Good morning, John.
Yes, Greg. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. This is a tricky one, though, because, you're asking people to stop supporting the plight of those in Gaza by using graffiti, effectively.
Well, I'm not actually saying that. I'm just... it's about the graffiti, Greg. It's what good is it going to be doing the people in Gaza? What's it going to do the Palestinian people? It's making a mess of our town. People writing on walls and red. I see now they've red writing up starvation, all that sort of stuff, genocide. You know, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not anyway anti-Palestinian. And there has to be something else done rather than being writing on walls in the town, particularly at this time of year when we're looking to win the tidiest town in Ireland, which we did in 2015,
I'm looking at the graffiti here, as are those who are watching the show. Gaza, stop genocide, pray for Gaza. It's in massive writing on a wall. And I'm looking at it, and I'm torn, John, to be completely honest with you.
I was watching last night.
Yeah, just let me outline this, and I'll get your view, John. You know, I was watching Gaza, footage of Gaza yesterday, you know, people being shot, scrambling for food, the entire area just flattened and kids dying every day. And then I look at a bit of spray painting on a wall in support of them, and it's easy for me to say, and this is why I said it's a complicated one, like, I'm torn, you know, what does it do? Maybe if there's Palestinians in the area, it shows support for them. Maybe it makes people who aren't thinking of Gaza think of them. I don't know what it does, John. I know what harm it does if you're worried about the tidy towns, but then you try and put the tidy towns in the context of what's happening in Gaza, and this is where I find myself in a mental quagmire.
This is why I said to myself yesterday, will I do this or will I not? And then when you do something, you're putting your head up and next thing, you know, and you're coming across from an anti-Semitic or you're anti-Palestinian.
I don't think anyone can accuse you of either of those two things.
No.
That's not your motivation. Your motivation is simple. Your motivation is that what impact would this actually have on the wider scale
of
things? And there are still people that are dedicating their time to the tidy towns. And unfortunately in life, there are competing things. Some are incredibly serious, some less serious, but they do coexist. So no one's suggesting you're being anti-Palestine. I'm certainly not, or pro-Israel or anti-Semite or whatever those phrases that we bandied about. I understand where you're coming from.
The people that be on our group, there are people from Palestine. Mm. Some of them are doctors and nurses and stuff like that. And they can feel a bit uncomfortable seeing that on the walls, thinking maybe it's them, etc.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody might come on from the Palestinian group or...
Well, we don't know who's responsible for it, yeah. Are you saying that, you know, rather than spraying this wall, maybe spend half an hour a day there with a Palestinian flag or a placard or something and then move on, that
Absolutely. There
are other ways that you can highlight this issue, perhaps even, you know, arguably more meaningful ways?
I've had conversations with the people from Palestine groups, you know, and they're very upset what's happening in their country, you know. But they need to sit down. The UN, they're not doing a lot. You know, we all know what's happening, really. And the Americans, what are they doing? What has really been done to stop this genocide? Nothing, really. I mean, what are we doing? Just words. People are starving. Imagine now somebody in Letterkenny was going to a food bank and been blew up. I mean... You know, what has to happen?
See, it's a catch-22, you know? Because if you paint over these, you're being seen as...
That's true.
You're being seen as not endorsing the message or to perhaps being, you know, pro-Israel or whatever it might be. If you don't touch them, well, then obviously it some people will feel it lowers the visual benefits of the town, let me put it to you like that. So... It's a catch-22. Who wants to be pictured with a roller painting over "Stop the Genocide"? No one.
No one.
So what do you do?
Well, the council have spent thousands of pounds, keeping the town clean and tidy in the county. They do a great job, you know. the tidy towns are out and from all towns in Ireland, from all over the place, keeping the place clean. The backs of signs, I mean, it's even down the town, the backs of signs everywhere just seems to be, you know, and I don't know if it's doing any good. Certainly it puts you in the visual thing and you think about it for a second. But there has to be another way.
Couple of views coming in here. Come on, and it is on hoarding, yeah. Let's put it like that. A caller says, come on, John, all that hoarding is hardly going to win us the Tidy Towns contest. So I don't know what their judging criteria is. Do you know what actually might be interesting, Caroline? Not to say that this is a green light to do it, but to find out from the Tidy Towns how they score graffiti in this manner. You know, I'm not saying it means like, you know, let's spray paint everywhere, but it'd be very interesting to see what the Tidy Town's view is on pro-Palestinian graffiti and if the town loses points over the head of it. So let us get clarity on that. I think that's an interesting question. Another, though, by contrast, says John is right, what's happening in Palestine is so wrong, but for graffiti's not going to do anything. But, you know, the thing is, John, everything's a mean to an end. Me and you now are again speaking about the terrible plight of the women, children and men of Gaza this morning because of this graffiti. And is that, if graffiti is to achieve anything, is it not that? Absolutely. That's the problem, you see.
Well, yeah.
It's a tricky one. All right, but you're saying you've made your point. Desist at this point and find a different way of doing it.
It's like protest. I mean, look, the last protest letter, can I, even though there's good crowds and everything, but there has to be another way of doing stuff without having to block the town and stuff like that. Can we go to the town parks maybe and look around there on and maybe
Protest is about disruption.
It's about disruption.
You know, how do I get your attention if I don't disrupt you? A caller says, I agree with the campaign to bring awareness, but honestly, the graffiti is horrible. So that's another person that's obviously very sympathetic to the plight of people in Gaza, but they don't like this graffiti. Listen, John, the one thing I will say to those that can get very nasty in comments and throw words around at other people when they express an opinion is desist from
that. I don't
want
to get into all that.
No, but desist from it because it achieves absolutely nothing. Well, look, have a conversation, talk to someone,
get
tease
involved.
Things out.
You're usually given a history lesson with all these people that think they know they're the warriors, you know, I call them, and they just go on with their big comments and everything, and here's a history. We all know the history of Gaza. It goes back as far as Abraham. We know all that. You know what I mean? We go back. Look, what they're doing is wrong. It's absolutely an abhorrence in the sight of the face of the earth, what they're doing. But nothing's happening. Nobody's doing. The UN's weak. We don't have any leadership. You know, the Americans, sure, they've gone rogue.
But it's like climate change. You know, what difference does it make?
Is.
What difference does it make if I stop burning?
We're only a
turf,
small percentage. We're a small country, Greg. You know.
Yeah, but every fight, every victory started with a step somewhere. But I listen. I'm not. I literally don't know what I think. That's why I'm just teasing it out with you, John, as we go. I'm going to check with Tidy Towns to officially find out what their view is on this type of, you know.
And thank you for highlighting. Agenda and have based. A great day.
Yeah, all right, John, take care. But it's so important. Thanks, John. It is so important, you know, that we learn to have discourse, to have conversations, that just because John is concerned about that, he's not anti-Israel, or sorry, he's not anti-Palestine. It's not that he doesn't care about what's happening there. It's that he wonders, he's wondering, he believes that this is, you know, lowering the tone of the town and not really achieving anything. You might disagree with him. You might disagree with his point of view. I just wish in social media spaces, though, we could go, you know what? I don't agree with you. And also, I don't know is a fantastic thing that you don't see on social media, that people sort of say, you know what? I'm not really sure. I don't know. My opinion's open on it. And that's the situation it is with me here. Listen, I'd do anything to stop the death of children in Gaza. You would say that, though. What would I do? Does the graffiti help? Does it get the conversation? Does it sort of show that maybe the people here don't agree with it? Or does it just achieve nothing and makes Letterkenny look poor? You know, I don't mean poor financially, by the way. I mean poor in terms of, oh, you look poor, you look good, you look fantastic, right? Just to be absolutely clear. So I don't know. I don't know. But I'm very interested in all your views out there. 0866 25,000 WhatsApps and texts to that number now. Right. Okay. We've a nice wee prize, actually. We've a lovely prize and a lovely trip coming up. And if you'll indulge me, I'll just take a minute to mention these. The question is a very simple one, and I presume for most of you the answer is yes. Would you like to win 2 return flights from Belfast International Airport to any of their EasyJet destinations? So it could be sun and sea or city sights. Your next adventure could be just one lucky entry away. So we've teamed up with Belfast International Airport, and one lucky winner will have the chance to win 2 return flights from Belfast International Airport, as I mentioned, to any of the EasyJet's destinations. T's and C's apply as always. So if you want to enter, it couldn't be much more simpler. You head over to our socials, you follow, like, and share the social pages, and then you share the post for your chance to win. Winner will be announced on Highland Socials on Monday, the 9th of June. Now, please be careful, because there are fake accounts out there, and we will never ask you to click on any links in your DMs or anything like that there. We'll make it very clear who's won. We'll post a picture of their profile and contact them directly. It's amazing to, you know, how quickly people exploit situations. I note that, obviously, you know, I would try and keep people up to date through Highland socials, but my own socials as well, in terms of, you know, road traffic collisions or what have you. And I've noticed now, and I delete and block as soon as I can, that if I give someone an update, or give my friends on Facebook an update on an incident on the roads, for an example, very quickly there's posts coming underneath saying, I actually got this on camera, click this link. And there's like 3 or 4 of them in like a jot. So obviously they're bots. It's not real people, but it just goes to show. And it's the same with competitions on social media. There are bots that very quickly then try and exploit that. But anyway, listen, the simple thing is you'll never click a link. We'll share the name of the winner on our socials and then contact them directly. And as I say, there'll be no link to click. So get on over to our socials. You could win those 2 tickets to any EasyJet destination out of Belfast International Airport. Right, and if you want to, by the way, follow me on, I would say be friends, but unfortunately I've maxed out on my friends, but Greg Hughes, I've got my own personal page is Greg Hughes, that's the one I update most. Greg Hughes and Highland Radio is mostly for the show stream and to stay in contact with people, of course. But if you want to follow me on my Greg Hughes page, I keep people up to date there as well. Right, Thursday 28th, but the first port of call is Highland Radio socials as well. It's just if you want to interact with me personally. On Thursday the 28th of August, we are going to Riverdance 30. It's the new generation. It's the show you know and love, but obviously the people that started doing it 30 years ago are too old. So they've got new people doing it, but they're fantastic. And it's in the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin. And it's only a short anniversary tour, by the way, but it is supposed to be a buster. Our package is overnight accommodation, B&B, at the 4-star Grand Canal Hotel in the heart of Dublin. How much would that cost you? What about luxury coach travel from here in Donegal down to Dublin? We'll drop you at the door of the hotel. What about some great tickets for the show? How much would they set you back? And maybe you want to do a bit of shopping in Dublin. Well, we only have limited availability if you want to come with us on the show. And it's €249 per person sharing. So just chip out of that how much, you know, accommodation in Dublin on the night of a big show would be. You know, your breakfast in the morning, how much that might be if you included that. If you wanted to get a luxury coach travel to and from, and also then tickets for the show. So I think you recognise as a package, you're doing pretty well there. €249 per person sharing. It's not until August 28th, but that's also only just around the corner. It might be a good anniversary present or birthday present or something. You know yourself. Sometimes we struggle to think, well, what can I get you? Maybe this might be a nice one. If you want any more information on it, you need to be kind of quick, because for this package, we've limited availability. 074-91-25,000. Give us a buzz and we'll get you through to Bronwyn and she'll sort you out. She'll get your tickets. Don't worry about that. And, you know, you can secure your spot now and we'll work with you too to make sure that obviously we have to have payment in advance of it, but that it work with you to sort of maybe you don't have the money till the end of the month or something. We'll just take a deposit to secure your position and work with you from there. All right, well, this Wednesday's on the way. We're going to be talking heme chromatography. hemochromatosis, because it is his hemochromatosis awareness week. It's a bit of a mouthful, like everything medical it seems to be. And after that too, Chris is going to be in with business news, so all that on the way. Stay right where you are. Now, on this morning's Wellness Wednesday, we're going to talk to Brian Coyle about World Hemochromatosis Awareness Week. It takes place from the 1st of June to the 7th of June, so we're right in the middle of it now. The Irish Hemochromatosis Association is amplifying the conversation and educating the public on the symptoms of hemochromatosis to promote early diagnosis of Ireland's most common genetic disorder. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. I do appreciate your time.
Good morning, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So what is hemochromatosis?
Hemochromatosis is an iron overload in your blood. And it eventually it affects your joints, your liver, your kidneys, your heart, etc. And it just leaves you, it just drains you.
And you can live with this for quite some time, can't you? Because there's a lot of crossover stuff here. How good are we at diagnosing it if we get ourselves in front of our GPs?
Well, the first thing you have to do, you've got to go for a test to see how your ferritin levels are. And if your ferritin levels come back and they're high, what you do then, you get a genetic test. Mm. This will let you know if you have the hemochromatosis gene.
A lot of people now, in certain industries anyway, might do a blood test as part of a job application. Generally speaking, is ferritin one of the elements of the blood that they examine?
No, it's not really. You've got to really ask for them to do a ferritin test.
Okay.
A lot of people don't realise about it. This is why we're having this awareness day.
For sure. So what might be indicators that this might be worth running past your GP? Because it's incredibly common.
Yeah, the first of all would be fatigue and joint pain. Those would be the most two common ones that affected me.
And when you talk of fatigue, because it's kind of a catch-all, isn't it? How does the fatigue manifest itself with you?
Well, I was just tired. I was tired and I had no drive because I'm in business and I work for myself. And I just, I just wanted to get the day in as quick as I could because I'd lost my drive, Greg, if you understand me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do. I know exactly what you're on about. And people might just say it's how they are. Without sort of the interventions, and we'll talk about in the moment, is this something that would just batter along and you'd always feel sort of lethargic and have joint pains, or would this have worsened without diagnosis, Brian?
No, this had worsened in me. As time went on, it just got worse and I got more tired, and the pains in my joints were getting worse. And so how I discovered that I had it, I was doing a project and I had to get a medical for it. And the doctor said that, listen, your iron's a bit high, I'd like you to come in and get it rechecked. Mm. Because how they discovered was that there was a doctor in Buncrana that had the same condition.
That's Dr. Paul Grant, isn't it?
Dr. Paul Grant. And they were, when he was diagnosed then, they were looking out for patients with high iron. And that's how it was discovered with me.
And we talked about it being a genetic condition. As it turns out, you've got siblings and children with hemochromatosis. I presume particularly with the children, they may have had no symptoms at all. And this means that it can be kept an eye on, or how does that all work?
Yeah, well, it is. If a family member has it, the best thing to do is for all the family to get checked. And they can do the genetic test. If they do the genetic test and it comes back positive, you can be aware of it then. And, you can get it in time, that it won't affect you if you get it in time.
All right. So ferritin is the bogeyman here in this situation. Your treatment is having blood drawn effectively three or four times a year. It's part of your life now.
That's right, yeah. Every 3 months I go and get it checked. And if I need to get a venous section, I can get it. The other problem that we're having too is that a lot of doctor surgeries won't do it, which means that you have to go to Letterkenny Hospital. And by the time you go to Letterkenny Hospital and have wait around and get all this done, you're looking at the best part of a day.
People, though, if I'm not mistaken, do they not now go to the blood transfusion service? Do they accept this blood now?
It's only lately that the blood transfusion service are taking hemochromatosis blood.
So that could form part of it. In other words, rather than struggling with your GP, head to Dunloe, Donegal Town, Ballybofaith, wherever they turn up. That also is an option?
Yeah, that's correct, Greg. That is an option. But some people can't go there, especially people that have lived in England, that they can't use their blood for some reason.
Yeah, well... It's going back some time now to a scandal in Britain, and it's only gay people that were allowed to give blood until relatively recently as well, or those who've actually received a blood donation. There's a complication there as well, if I'm not mistaken. How much blood is drawn off you per session?
It's probably roughly around about half a litre of blood.
Okay, 2 pints odd. Is that right? Yeah,
half a litre. It's probably just over a pint.
Over a pint. Okay. Yeah. It's not huge then. It's
huge, but how I would put it is that once they draw the blood off your body, mix the blood again in 2 to 3 days. Mm. And it's like diluting orange, that I would put it. You take a bit out and you put some water in, and that's how it dilutes it down.
Okay. It's well worth getting this ferritin level checked. A lot of people, what they hear back from the GP or whatever is, you know, we've done your bloods and you're low on iron. This is the opposite. So if you do get the check, just out of interest, would high iron levels be flagged? In other words, I think you said that was your first indicator that you needed to get your ferritin levels checked.
Yeah, but you have to ask for the
ferritin one. Okay.
Ferritin test. Not all blood tests contain the ferritin test.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, it couldn't be any more or simple than that, the message, I think, you know, and hopefully, and we've talked in the past, Brian, hopefully we reach people again and, you know, to some extent, I don't want to be dramatic, but get their lives back. Because if you're feeling lethargic and tired and you've got joint pain, it's going to drag you down. Like, you're going to feel it. Like.
That's right. Yeah. And the main thing is getting it in time, Greg.
Yeah.
That's number one.
All right, go to the Irish Hemochromatosis Association's website and socials for more information. Brian, continued good health to you. Thank you.
Listen, thanks for that, Greg.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you very much indeed. Let's see what you think about the graffiti in Letterkenny. John and others are best served by contacting TDs who voted with the government redole vote, perhaps Marion Harkin, etc. Well, he's interested in the maintenance of Letterkenny, right? That's what he came on to talk about. But I understand what you're talking about, that he should direct. I take your point. John Wilkie's 100% correct. Graffiti on walls anywhere will do absolutely nothing to help the people of Palestine. I have as much sympathy for the people of Palestine as anyone else, but this graffiti is vandalism to no avail. Another, it's an absolute abhorrence. The graffiti is against the law and should be taken down. The people involved deserve to be arrested. And another, I am with the people of Gaza, but the town is ruined. Graffiti is an eyesore. You know, and there's a consistency, I suppose, to the messages that people recognise the tragedy, the genocide that's happening, but also at the same time, you know, maybe don't want to be faced with the graffiti. It's not pretty, right? The message is strong, but the graffiti, it's not pretty. No one's looking at it and going, that's adding to the town. It's certainly adding to a message or in a campaign, but it's not adding to Letterkenny. All right. Keep your views and comments coming in to 086 6025000. Wednesday means Chris Ashmore's in studio. He is the presenter of Highland Radio's Business Matters podcast. Hiya, Chris. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Before we get to the subject matter of the podcast, and it's not a repeat, but before we get to the subject matter of the podcast, Kirchhoff Ireland. What does this company do? What are they planning?
Yeah, no, they've been in Letterkenny since 1981. They're part of a huge global automotive firm, Kirchhoff Automotive, who actually have employees in 11 countries and a turnover of more than 3 billion euros. So a big company. But here in Letterkenny, they make parts essentially for the motor industry, and their customers include Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar Land Rover and BMW. And they have just announced that with IDA support, they are spending in the region of 900,000 euro over the next 2 years on a training program, essentially upskilling the workforce here. So that is a vote of confidence in the workforce here in Donegal, that a not inconsiderable sum, and this money will be spent on, as they say, they're going to focus on innovation, sustainability, and not, to be honest, I'm not quite sure what digitalization in the automotive sector means. I'll put my hands up. But anyway, that's part of what they are doing. But
robots.
Who knows? But they're long established here, and a small cog in a, excuse the pun, in a big wheel.
Yeah,
but
no, I'll let you away with
great,
that.
It's great. You know, the, from here, Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW. Parts from Letterkenny.
We're not going to hit a million electric cars by 2030, but there is still interest in them, and an increasing interest in Donegal.
Yeah, I may have heard during the week the latest car sales figures out, and the electric car sales are, they're actually up 45% on the same 5 months from last year. So that's quite an increase. And interestingly, petrol electric hybrid cars are now the most popular, be it petrol, diesel, pure electric, and there's different variations.
I think if people could get straight diesels, I think they might be top. I do speak to a lot of people that want a straight diesel.
Still 21%.
They're hard to get your hands on. I mean, Nissan, for an example,
they don't make them anymore.
Diesels.
Yeah,
and some of them are diesel hybrids, and people, oh, I just want a diesel. But listen, that's the way things are. I was reading an article today about the Chinese developing effectively batteries, and that you could get a scooter over in Japan, you know, a two-wheel scooter like a Vespa or something, not that brand, for £400, right? Yeah. And the batteries are salt-based batteries. It's not actually salt. What's the...
Alkaline?
No, it's not. But anyway, it is effectively derived from sea salt. They're solid-state batteries, sea salt. And they charge 0 to 80% in like 10, 15 minutes. The problem is they're not just as good as the other batteries yet.
It'll happen.
It's a endless natural resource, right? But anyway, these scooters, you can get them for £450, £500, and they're on these salt batteries, I'll say it in that way. And, you know, there's a real battle in terms of, we're constantly moving towards a situation where battery life is improving, more sustainable, less heavy. This isn't it, because I think people think, right, that's electric cars, we're standing still. But there is other innovations coming the whole time. Speaking of travel, Lough Foyle, Lough Swilly ferry services, both up and running.
Yes, good to see both up and running. Now, actually, I know that the Swilly one wasn't operating because of the inclement weather there
just
a couple of days ago.
Unseasonal, terrible.
But yeah, they're up and running for the summer. So look, a great boost for those areas, Rathmullen to Buncrana and Greencastle to McGilligan, and frequent sailings throughout the day. And Greencastle-McGilligan route, by the way, particularly good website and gives you lots of ideas. If, you know, a lot of people might be going on for the first time, don't know much, maybe that northern coast up from McGilligan, whatever. So, well worth checking out, yeah.
Donegal's beautiful. Derry's beautiful too, but from the sea particularly. Mm-hmm. And just an add-on to that, if you don't mind, congratulations to the folks over at the Blue Ferry, good friends of the show, or of the station, sorry. Their new ferry had its maiden voyage, I think, at the weekend. And the other connection there is they very generously donated, as part of our birthday fundraising day, a go on the maiden voyage, so to speak. And I think that happened at the weekend, and the ferry looks absolutely beautiful as well. So it's all go on the high seas. Right. Bunk,
yeah. Now, quite a few people may not have heard of Bunk. Revolut are probably the online bank that most people are familiar with. A more recent entrant to the Irish market. It's a Dutch-headquartered online bank, Bunk. Now, they've quadrupled their customer base in Ireland last year.
They went from 2 to 8.
Oh, the cynic. And they've doubled their deposits. And Ireland is actually now their third largest market for deposits. They do pay an instant deposit rate of 2.26%, which doesn't sound a lot, but if you have your money sitting in a lot of the traditional banks, you're getting diddly squat. So they operate in more than 30 European countries. I think it's fair to say some people, particularly maybe older people, wouldn't be too happy about the fact that it's very hard to get a human being. This is purely online. There is a chat function, But if you have an issue, don't go trying to ring somebody.
Staying in that space, I suppose, I got a letter from the Ulster Bank, I think agents for the Ulster Bank there a couple of days ago, stating that when my mortgage was transferred to AIB, that they messed up the interest rates or something along those lines, and that I was overpaying, and they deposited some money back into the mortgage account, which I thought was quite interesting. I wonder, is that just me, or did anyone else get
that? So, another banking scandal in the making.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what it effectively did. It takes a month off the mortgage, which is insignificant, but, you know,
well, it was
that money in my pocket. Now, it's not AIB, it's whatever way they transferred it, but I'm not sure if I'm a unique case or if they made this mistake.
Phone in if, people. Yeah.
Yeah, phone in, maybe other people could. Yeah. Right, let's bunk off to the next topic. Less wind in May.
Well, we all know May was a lovely month here in Donegal.
This is actually tied into my salty batteries because apparently these are incredibly effective for power storage, you know.
Yes, well, because of the fact we had such a nice May and great weather, there was less wind. Less wind means less electricity generated through wind turbines. And the island of Ireland imported a record amount of electricity. We do have interconnectors with the UK, and almost 20% of our electricity came through interconnectors from the UK. So this is that was a record high because of the fact there wasn't enough wind. And the flip side of this, solar farms on the island of Ireland actually managed to generate more than 5% of the island's electricity.
I'm not going to wet myself with excitement at this point, but listen, the one resource that is most consistent is solar, or maybe offshore wind. You know, I mean, the countryside, some might feel, is blighted by turbines that are stagnant or switched off because the wind's too strong. But still, hopefully we're storing that, and hopefully we have the infrastructure to get that power to people's homes, because we're seeing record numbers of outages lately. Right, okay. Bank of Ireland have a warning out for holiday muckers.
Yes, look, it's a simple message. Essentially, a lot of people do book holiday accommodation online, and the scammers are out there. There's stories people have.
Can I give a tip on that? Book your travel insurance as soon as you book your holiday. I think a lot of people book their holidays and then say, we'll do the travel insurance. It's not just, it's everything. It's even if something comes up in your life, make sure you get your travel insurance or register it with Revolut, if that's who provides your travel insurance, for an example. As soon as you book it, do your travel insurance, because there's lots of stuff can happen between when you book it and when you travel that's covered by travel insurance. Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say they have issued a warning. Just, you know, it's the usual be vigilant, stop, think, check before making any accommodation payments. There's stories people landing to properties that don't even exist. Mm. And of course, you see a lovely looking place online and it ticks all the boxes it doesn't even exist. So do check it out. Just on the insurance side of things, Greg, Ryanair, you can get a membership package with Ryanair. I wasn't aware of this till very recently. I think it costs about €79 a year. They send you emails regularly with special, more discounts at short notice. And quite often it's another sort of 20% off. So very clever, as usual, from the marketing side of things from Ryanair, that they see they've seats not filled on so many flights. Bung off the extra offer to the people who are members, and you get your travel insurance as on all their flights as part of that €79.
All right, different airline this time, Aer Lingus.
Yes, Willie Walsh, former Aer Lingus boss, who is now the Director General of the International Air Transport Association. Some potentially good news here. Crude oil prices are falling. There's a knock-on effect for kerosene, the fuel which is used to power the aircraft. And he is predicting that this tends to feed through to fares, so lower airfares could be on the way.
We'll be back with what's coming up on this week's pod after the break. Right, just to let you know that tomorrow we are broadcasting live from... Is that it? Is this mine, Caroline? It doesn't say what it is. Can we do that again?
Please.
Chris Ashmore, what's coming up in the podcast this week? Yes. One second. What's coming up in the podcast this week?
I've been speaking with the new CEO.
What is that? I don't know where it's gone yet.
The new CEO of Highland Radio, Sean Quinn.
We've had a CEO?
Yes.
I've never heard of this.
Well, he's been telling me a little bit about his background, largely in sales, his love of sport. Proud Kilmacrennan man. Had aspirations maybe to be a professional footballer. Took a different tack. Did accountancy for a while. Got into management. Worked in advertising, the newspaper sector. And has been here with Highland Radio as sales and marketing manager since 2019. And eagerly looking forward to the challenge of keeping people like you in your place over the next few years.
Should be fun.
Yeah, so we've...
Sorry, that's my fault. I thought you were finished with the introduction. Go ahead.
Well, in this clip, he's talking about his background in sales, the challenges ahead, developing skills, and also the importance of working and getting on with people.
It's like my father would have said that within a couple of years of me being able to speak, sales was where I was destined to go, although I did start out in training as an accountant. But football was my first love, and I thought I would never have to work in my life because I'd be this professional football player. But I found out fairly quickly that doesn't just happen, and I had to go back to the books. I wasn't great at school, but went back after school. But the time I was kind of 20, I was looking at other ways of how do I make more money, and I went into sales just shortly after my 20th birthday. And have been in it since, so it's a considerable time. And there's been some tough times. It's not the easiest profession in the world because it's results driven. And I've had to, you know, chop and change, redevelop. But what I've done is I've learned a lot of skills over the years. And the adapt the when they say no, it means yes analogy into a sales process. But I'm very lucky I've worked with some great people. And in my mid-20s, I managed to get into management and I embraced that as well because I love working with people. I think I can help people and support people. And that's kind of been my motto from day one when I went into management.
There. Now, much more from Sean Quinn in this week's podcast, Chris.
Yes, and you can listen to that and a couple of other items of business move news as well.
Have you clicked publish? Is it
ready
to go? Yes,
it's on there.
It's on the website, all right. Yeah. So listen to that at your leisure. You can download it or stream it from our website. It and hundreds of other podcasts, a huge resource there for anyone interested in business, starting a business, you know, improving their business. There's so many tips and potholes and all kinds of info there that's going to be very useful, but also too for the general listener, you're listening to people involved in business in the Northwest and sometimes beyond. Chris, it's also on, is it on Sunday? Are we Wednesday? Is Donegal on Sunday?
Now, Business Matters.
You're on at 6.
We are on at 6. So it could be a tight call. So could get bumped if there's extra time and penalties and
things. Exactly. With a podcast there and it will be rescheduled.
And it'll be podcast episode since it all began.
Let's think about this. It's the third in the Red Robin, so it can't go to extra time. So it finishes on the day. So we either get 1 point, 2 point, or 0 point. So I think you're all right.
Yeah, I'll be all right.
Unless Brendan Devaney starts to do the DL debate, we'll have to have a chat to Oisin about
That's why I'm talking to Oisin after this program.
Anyway, one thing for absolute certain, and the show probably will go out at 6, but we'll let you know before then. The show is available right now for you to listen to that full interview with Kilmacrennan man Sean Quinn, the new CEO of Highland Radio. Chris, if people want to contact you?
Best way is by email. So it's businessmatters@highlandradio.com. And you mentioned there about old and more recent podcasts. This is actually number 247.
I mean, that's a lot of content. And it's not... It's not what you separate the wheat from the wheat from the, what's that phrase? Anyway, it's all good stuff. That's what I'm saying. Chris, thanks very much indeed. I do appreciate it. Look forward to chatting to you next Wednesday. So we are actually, and I knew about it, but I'd forgotten about it. So I'm really excited. We're outside the studio tomorrow. And as you would know from Monroe B's, you know, generally speaking, the content is the same. But we are down at the Grand Central Letterkenny. It's for the grand opening of Donegal Horizons, opening doors and opening minds. And we're going to join them to celebrate the grand opening of the new centre. And it is a new beginning. And we're broadcasting there from 9. The official launch is at 10. So go down and attend the official launch. But we're going to be there from 9. I'll remind you tomorrow morning that you're more than welcome. There's going to be refreshments down at the Grand Central and special guests on the day. And us, me, Caroline, Joe, Shannon, all will be down there broadcasting the show. Come down and say hello. You have a competition here. We had a fantastic turnout up in Carndonagh. Let's see, can we get the people at Letterkenny out in such big numbers as well? Why are Letterkenny councillors not calling on the defacing of the town with this unsightly graffiti? It's the public, I suppose, have their say. Hi, Greg. Writing Stop the Genocide on hoarding, however unartistically, is not vandalism. It can be painted over. Hearing people complain about this is depressing. I'd love to ask if Letterkenny Tidy Towns have any issue with all the ugly advertising now littering Letterkenny, and I have to drive past Donald Trump's face on a billboard every day on my way home to Kilmacrenan. Another, Greg, I agree with John. Graffiti on walls does nothing to help the poor people of Palestine. In fact, there's little we in Ireland can do. There's only one man who can stop this, and it's Donald Trump. He could use his influence to stop the Israelis from their brutality, but chooses not to. Another, re-graffiti tourists in Paris. They find it charming. Interesting, perhaps, Tidy Towns County Council sponsor artists to facilitate stencil workshops or create beautiful murals. The graffiti is going to turn people against the Palestinian people. We have our own issues in this county too. Hi, Greg. It's not rocket science. The graffiti is terrible looking. Imagine if it was done in Donegal town, there'd be an uproar. It's not pro-Israel to be annoyed about our town being defaced. Another, totally agree with that man. I do feel sorry for these people, but why destroy the town? The graffiti with graffiti and march or a flag? Another, there's a big difference between anti-Semitic and anti-Zionist. Many Jews are agreeing what is happening in Gaza too, or against what's happening in Gaza too. I agree with John. This type of graffiti really does nothing in the larger scheme of things, except maybe lose points in the Tidy Towns. People have their opinions, feelings, regardless of graffiti. As to unpleasant comments, sometimes people don't realise is that people are paid to post on some news sites as well. Well, we have 80% bots on our social media, mostly on X, but across all platforms in this country. So about 1 in 5 comments are from a legitimate person. Greg, at least the spray paint got the massacre in Gaza on Highland and not what other people want to ignore it, indeed. And I just want to say that it is a topic that we do discuss extensively on this show. A caller says, I also got a refund from Ulster Bank Mortgage due to interest calculation error. Yeah, indeed, that's interesting because so did I. I wonder, are there many of us? A caller says, if you get the genetic testing for hemochromatosis and if you're diagnosed, it is a chronic illness and this will affect your mortgage going forward. I have hemochromatosis and my daughter will not be getting tested until she gets a mortgage. The diagnosis is the same as if you had cancer or MS if you were applying for a mortgage. That's really interesting information, and it actually talks to the seriousness with which the condition is looked at. But it's interesting information there that you have provided. I am a cancer patient and got a lot of blood transfusions because of the bone marrow transplant. I had no family matches, so I was on a World Bank donation for it and got a donor in Germany. I have hemochromatosis now. It's tough on my joints. I also go every 2 or 3 weeks to get it removed. It really lifts the joint pain and tiredness. I guess it was just one of those things. Greg, I don't think for 1 minute you're as naive as you're making out. RTE, when the government handed over the millions to RTE, became a government-run station. There's a lot of questions not allowed to be asked on RTE. Well, I like my comments to be sort of fact-based, if you know what I mean, and I didn't hear all of the interview. And what I'm referencing here is a comment I made earlier on that, you know, RTE ran the story yesterday about the 171 medical professionals writing a letter, unprecedented, seeking a minister, meeting with the Minister for Health. The Minister of Health was on the show this morning and wasn't asked that question. I don't play games. I didn't hear all of the interview, and I made that all very, very clear. I also can't presume, because I don't have the evidence, that they agreed not to ask that question. I quite clearly stated perhaps it was a journalistic oversight, because I don't know and I can't jump to a conclusion. Okay, listen, thank you so much for listening to the show. If you watched it, really appreciate that too. We're back tomorrow morning at 9, as I said, out and about, but it's business as usual, except with some nice conversations from our friends at Horizons. Chat to you at 9. John Breslin's next around the Northwest.